Welcome to Mediascape, Insights from Digital Changemakers, a speaker series and podcast brought to you by USC Annenberg's Digital Media Management Program. Join us as we unlock the secrets to success in an increasingly digital world.
Today, I am here with a friend that I met a while back at a conference. And even though she's moved across the pond, if you will, we've had the fortune of staying in touch. Hi, Alsha. I'm so happy to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Anika. It's an opportunity and very exciting to be here.
Yeah. So let's talk about your background. You were in business and then you pivoted a little bit in the last few years when you came up with a new concept. But I want to hear more about your background first and your job and work experience and how that led you on the path you're on today.
Yeah. So I actually was born and brought up in India. So I've been in three countries. So let's start with that. So I moved to the US as part of my job. And at that time, I was working with one of the consulting companies and had an opportunity to work with big brands like Coca-Cola, Gillette, helping them with their implementations and product development. So that was pretty exciting. And soon after that, I always wanted to do something different. So I joined another domain, which is the entertainment domain. And I was there with Warner Brothers for almost 8 years, doing lots of different things, but most of it in the digital and data world and helping the entertainment world embrace, you know, technology and data. Soon after that, I actually just kind of moved into a completely different domain, which is EdTech and HR Tech. And I joined a SaaS company. And that was pretty exciting. That was honestly a springboard for my career development. I was there for 8 years, but I started as a senior project manager, but was given so many opportunities and worked so hard that I was the senior director for strategy and operations for e-learning content. So that was a wild ride. And then I was like, okay, I know a lot about product and technology. I want to learn something more. So I went ahead and applied to UCLA and got accepted as, you know, and did an executive MBA there, which was, again, another fun ride. And my intentions joining the MBA was just to kind of, oh, I want to get on this, you know, career path, have a steep growth, maybe go on a CEO path. And so that's what my intention was. But in the middle of the program, they have this concept of business, they introduce entrepreneurship. True. And I was like, wow, I really like this. And, you know, if I'm learning so much about it, the best way for me to learn is actually practically do it. And that's when I founded Good4 Earth. So I've been on that journey since then.
I love that you had such a thirst and quest for knowledge and continuous learning that took you to so many different places. I mean, you came from India, but you went to school, you went to university in England, right?
Yes, recently, I'm a believer of lifelong learning, so you never stop. And just recently, I was like, wow, there's so much to learn around sustainability. I really think I need some sort of education. So I went ahead and did a program with Cambridge for business sustainability. And that, again, has been a fantastic journey too.
Wow. So yeah, so that your educational journey really has covered the three continents or the three areas, starting in India, coming to the United States, working, getting another degree, and then going through this process in England. That's really amazing. But I love that your thirst and quest to continue learning and to learn more about the topic that you're most interested in has led you down this path. So let's talk about Good4 Earth. Was it originally like a capstone project, something you had to develop as part of the MBA program? And then you said,
That is exactly how the journey started. And so we even launched a beta then, which was a B2C, you know, product where people could come on our platform, take a quiz, which was like fun and engaging. And we would give out an eco score and some personalized recommendations, right? Cool. So we did that as a, you know, initial stage of Good4 Earth, and we got good feedback. And soon after that, like the other feedback that we got, and we're always constantly listening to our customers, the feedback that we got is like, hey, this is amazing, you know, which is like, yes, you know, individuals can definitely have an impact on environment sustainability. But what would be really, really good is if you put in the organizations in this mix, the impact would be just multifold. And that got us thinking. And since then, we've, you know, transitioned to B2B also to kind of, you know, get in organizations and help them out to get on the sustainability path.
Mm. Yeah, because we hear sustainability is so important, but some people look at it as a buzzword still. Obviously, if you look at the UN and the sustainability goals, there is so much built in and baked into how companies need to move in the world. We see, I'm still in California, which you had lived in before you moved overseas to London. You know, we are supposed to all be driving electric cars in a few years. And it can be hard to make those steps realistically, to take the big leaps. So something I've been talking about, which I think is where Good for Earth really hits the nail on the head, is that you make the smaller changes, right? You can change one habit, one thing that you're doing. So at least that when I know when I was going on as a consumer to do the surveys and to see, oh, what kind of, you know, brands would be good for me and my stage in life. So I'd love to hear about the transition. Was it difficult to transition it from B to C to B to B? And what does the world look like now for Good for Earth?
Definitely. It was a difficult answer. So there's obviously pros and cons in each of the business models, as you know. For B2C, it's easy to get something going, but it's very difficult to get everybody on board. Unless you get like millions and millions of users, it's kind of really difficult to, you know, have the impact that you're trying to have. For B2B, that is simplified, but like it's kind of very difficult to get your first 10 customers because, you know, you're starting from scratch. They need to believe in you. So you have to build that trust and credibility, add significant value for them to kind of make this change, right? So already they are very nervous, like because now there are so many regulations and they are bombarded with lots of information and lots of companies. So it is difficult for them to select, okay, this is the right organization for me, which will take me through this journey. And so for Good for Earth, what we are doing is we really are obsessed with taking our customers through a journey of learning, engaging, and acting. So it's not just that we throw certain things on you and expect that it will stick. So the first and foremost thing is like we really want to start with education in terms of like bridge that climate literacy gap. Mm. And so we are developing simple, modern, industry-specific micro-learning modules.
Oh, nice.
So that employees or partners or customers can at least be aware of like what does climate change mean to them in their specific industry. So that's the first step that we do, which is the unlearn pillar. The second step is the engage pillar, where you're not going to go on a sustainability journey all by yourself. You know, let's be clear, you know, it's not an individual journey, especially when you're talking about organization. You need to get a lot of buy-in. You need a lot of stakeholders that you need to work with. And it is sometimes difficult to kind of engage with these internal as well as external stakeholders. So our platform really provides a lot of tools and solutions that will help you simplify things so that you can get to that easier. And once you are at that phase where you have the buy-in, you have everything, and now you have to act, that also is not as easy, right? Because the journey starts from, like, let's take a simple example of a fashion brand, right? If they are getting on to the sustainability journey, the first thing they have to do is they have to understand what is their impact today, right? So they would be looking for some carbon accounting software to find out what their impact is. Then they have to set the objectives. Then they have to set the action plan. And if, you know, there are things which are related to product innovation, it takes time, like from 5 to 10 years, to change textile, as an example, like, you know, the kind of material they use, right? But in the meanwhile, they really want to have an impact by, say, community outreach or by getting carbon certification, right? So all of that entire journey, this is not even the full journey, right? And they may want to switch to renewable. But there's so many things that an organization goes through when they're going to sustainability journey that we want to be that one-stop shop where they can trust us and we can provide them with these different solutions by partnering and collaborating with the best in the industry.
Yeah, I can see how it is definitely a process and something people need somebody who is the expert to hold our hands through to figure out which ones. It's with like with anything, right? If you have the expert, it's so much easier to navigate and to make a change in your processes, in your systems, in your materials, in your recycling, you know, at any little step and any big step, that your company affects. So what does that look like for you right now? Have you relaunched as the B2B? Do you have client base right now?
So we are super excited. So we are launching a beta, you know, it's Earth Month. So we actually would love for it to be Earth Day every day. Yeah. But let's just, you know, take this opportunity. And as we get people's attention during the Earth Month, we want to kind of launch ourselves. And we are opening up for beta customers to kind of take them through this journey of learning, engaging, and acting. And we have a few customers that we've worked with, like we've helped out in the education space, which, you know, we've helped out some schools.
Oh.
Surprisingly, schools are very interested as well to kind of get eco-certified. And then we're focusing more on retail, specifically retail fashion, then grocery, and then moving on to manufacturing.
Yeah. It's so different, right? From, I mean, in the States, state to state, and now country to country, what the regulations are. So are you seeing a lot of differences, nuances in customers that you might work with in England, in the UK, or in Europe versus in the United States?
Absolutely. I think it also depends on the sector, to be honest, and industry. Mm. Some industries are more motivated than the others. But generally, the mindset in Europe has been very accepting. They get it that, like, this is something that this is the right thing to do, and we all need to get on it, right? Mm. So there is not a lot of pushback that you get when you open up a conversation about environment sustainability. They're like, yeah, that seems to be the right thing to be doing. So I think that way, the perspectives and mindsets are pretty open. And I think the regulations over here are also pretty, you know, tight. The EU has really set a charter of, like, you know, what is allowed, what's not allowed, even for greenwashing. And I think US is going to follow suit as well. So while there is a lot of, you know, acceptance of this idea, also going through the customers is a lengthy process, I would say, a little bit more lengthy process in Europe as compared to US.
Hmm. Okay. And will you still have something available for consumers or for the smaller businesses who might not be ready to take a big leap, but want to still learn how they can participate?
Absolutely. So as we relaunch, we are going to have our quiz where it gives personalized recommendations to individuals. We are bringing that back again because, see, everyone, I think the mission of our company is, like, each and every person and organization can create a positive impact. So we don't want to leave anybody behind. So we will have something for, you know, the consumers, and we will have something for organizations. And in fact, there is the biggest opportunity with the mid-size and small businesses, because, you know, for them, this is an opportunity to think of sustainability, but also add operational efficiency, brand loyalty, innovation. Yeah. So I also want to kind of, like, really make a point that, you know, don't do sustainability just for the sake of the sustainability. That is absolutely the right thing to do. But when you are running a business, you're always thinking of other aspects of the business as well. And, you know, I can tell you for sure, in the long run, this will make your business run sustainably, even financially. So that's the perspective, but if people understand that. And so if you actually, it's really hard to sell sustainability, but if you sell operational efficiency or innovation or brand loyalty, then people are, you know, definitely willing to kind of listen.
That was going to be my next question, because I know when we as consumers look at items that are considered more sustainable, often they can be more expensive, right? And so there is that barrier. I've had conversations with students about that who are also single moms about, well, I can go to Target and buy this many clothes for my kid who's going to grow out of them very fast versus these other things that might cost a lot more money. They might last longer, but that's not going to matter because my child will have outgrown them in the next few months. Right. So there's a push-pull even as consumers. And I know that people also take those constructs into their businesses when they're thinking about, oh, but I can just order this or I can just use this and it's okay if it breaks, and the throwaway culture that we have.
Yeah.
So I imagine, shifting and educating the mindset is so important. And then what about the cost? So do people come to you and you work with them on, do they want to be B Corp certified or do they want this certification, LEED certified, you know, whatever the different certifications are. And so then you can price the model differently depending on how much work is going to have to go into it.
Absolutely. So I think the platform itself considers a lot of parameters, and that's why we have like personalized recommendations. So it, one of the things that we will also ask is like, what's your budget? Like, what's the team size, right? If this is a small, mid-sized business, right? There are still a lot of tools and solutions available that are budget-friendly, especially what I'm seeing. This is in UK, especially. There's a lot of solutions available for small and mid-sized businesses. So I don't think cost is necessarily a thing. And let me give you an example with the school that we were working with, right? And I was, as I say, you know, long-term, this is going to be really cost-effective.
Please.
So their electricity bills have been going up crazy, as one can imagine, like, you know, with the war and like so many other macroeconomics level. And if they switch to solar, right, they get the break-in in 5 years. The challenge there is just putting that upfront investment, the capital investment to get the solar panels. But there now are a lot of companies available which do zero capital projects as well, right? So I think we are in a space where there has been so much innovation. And going back to the consumers, right? That's a perfect example. But I think there's also a lot of business models that are thriving, which is where you don't need to buy clothes for your kids anymore. You can rent them. And then there are services which will wash it and clean it and, you know, reusable, right?
Yeah.
So I think those innovations are thriving quite a bit. And it's really exciting to see like all of these new business models and companies and innovation happening.
Yeah. What is one thing that you really want consumers to consider when they're thinking about their sustainability journey, and one thing that business owners need to consider? Like, what's the one question or one thing that we can change right now?
So one thing is, I mean, it starts from here, right? Awareness and reflection is your number one point in the journey. So I think as a consumer, right, if you can just be aware and like, is this something that I really need? Or is there a better sustainable option that fits my budget or my, you know, I think if we start with that, a lot of us, you know, can have a lot of positive impact. So, you know, it sounds like a very simple solution or maybe cliche, but honestly, I think that's the first thing. If we all can be just like, you know, aware and be a little bit reflective of our actions, that goes a long way. And for businesses, I think, you know, a lot of businesses are, they are coming across a lot of barriers. Some of these barriers are knowledge, some of them are resources, some of them are skills or even budget, right? Mm-hmm. So when they are in this situation, I think seeking expert help is really going to, you know, move them along from this journey of just thinking and like, oh my God, I really need to do this because regulations are coming. If you engage with an expert, it's just going to help you accelerate your journey to the next phase where you stop running and you're actually kind of, you know, doing something about it. So I think those are the two things I want to say.
Yeah, that's great advice. Mindset is such a thing. We need to change that for everything we do to even get started in having a business or believing in yourself and thinking about how we move in the world. So,
Yeah.
Wow. So what kind of content are you putting out right now? Is it on YouTube? Is it on your social media channels? Is it on your website that we can go to and get quick tips and actionable items and learn more about these different processes?
So we have a lot of content already on our LinkedIn, Facebook, Insta. So, you know, you can connect on these channels and follow us. The e-learning, the climate literacy content that I'm talking about, we are going to first launch the for retail fashion. And those will be part of the relaunch available on our website and other channels as well, which will be listed on our website. So can't wait. If you, you know, it would be great if you signed up, you get these videos for free and at least you can kind of start your journey without waiting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And these are like, you know, small 3 to 5 minutes micro learning kind of session, which videos, which basically kind of really remove all the complexity and jargons. The other thing is like people get so scared or afraid of like, oh my God, what is scope one? What is scope three? What is greenhouse gases? Like for some of us who have been in this journey, know all these terms, but like think of people who are just starting. These are pretty jarring. And so I think the goal with our climate literacy pillar is to kind of remove those jargons, lay out simple terms which people can understand, and also give some practical tips for either consumers or the organization. So, you know, there's always some tips to take away from.
Yeah. How are you celebrating Earth Day besides launching the new beta?
That's a great question. I am, you know, actually signing up for a few workshops. Another thing is in UK, there's a huge community of sustainable experts and, you know, events. So I think next weekend on the 27th, there's a bunch of workshops that are happening, which explains like, you know, a concept of like digital collage or the impact of textiles, which it's a hands-on workshop, which you go with like normal people, you know, you brainstorm and you come up with a solution. I've done one or two of those by Climate Fresk. So I'm planning to do that myself.
Oh, fantastic. So,
which will be pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, and you're also a wife and a mother. So how inspired is your family to be more sustainable and more eco-friendly because of the work that you're doing?
Oh my God. My kids have actually inspired me to even start Good For It, to be honest. Like, you know, my older daughter, you know, she came up with a drawing, which will obviously was still there on our website, where she thought this is how Earth was, all green and blue and beautiful. And then as she started learning about global warming and climate change, she was pretty upset. And she actually came to me and said, like, I had the fishes dying in the ocean. We should be doing something about it. And that was honestly a moment of reflection for me, where, you know, as a parent, I could just like, you know, shrug my shoulders and say, yeah, it is what it is and move on or do something about it. And that is a moment when I founded Good For It. So
amazing.
My kids always inspire me and they're always like holding me accountable, to be honest. Like, Mom, doesn't seem to be as sustainable.
But that's what we want, right? We want the future generation to already have this mindset, because those of us who didn't grow up with it are having to learn. I mean, I know there was Earth Day when I was younger, and it was just one day that we really thought about it. We didn't think about it in anything else we did as consumers when I was growing up. So it's a big shift. And I love the fact that people could be so intentional now and have resources like Good For Earth to go and learn more on their journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hal, is there a quote or a mantra or some words that really resonate with you and with the mission?
Yeah, lately I've been kind of thinking about environment sustainability so much. So this is a quote by Robert Swan that really kind of sticks to me, which is like, the greatest threat to our planet is the belief that someone else is going to save it, right? If we all think about it that way, I think it's the recipe for disaster. And so I think we all should feel responsible for making things better for our future generations.
Well, thank you so much for giving your insights, for creating this digital ecosystem for us to enjoy, that anybody can go on, get the right references, and then also just being a champion and putting yourself out there to continuously learn, to continuously become an expert in something you're so passionate about, and then bring it to organizations so that they can all make change for good.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to, you know, see more of you.
Yes.
At least being curious, right? Because step one, as I said, is curious and being awareness, you know, being aware. And so consume this climate literacy content and learn something from it. And then once you're ready to engage and act, come talk to us. We are here to help you.
Fantastic. Well, Payal Shah, thank you so much for being here. And that website is good4earth.co.
Good4earth.co. Thank you so much, Anikam, for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
With that, thank you to everybody for watching or listening to this episode and for hearing more about Payal's journey in the world of corporate and then starting her own company to help other businesses and people become more sustainable.
To learn more about the Master of Science in Digital Media Management program, visit us on the web at dmm.usc.edu.